This is a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 390.
You're listening to the 2015 TGO Challenge, sponsored by the Great Outdoors magazine, Handbag Footwear and Fjällräven. Part 2.
In part 1, you heard Andy describe his start point and introduce some of his fellow challengers, who shared with him a noisy, good-humoured night in the Loch Eilert Inn in readiness for this year's crossing. That same evening, Rose and I also headed to the pub for a meal at the Glenelg Inn, where we found most of the challengers starting from this lovely little quiet village opposite the romantic Isle of Skye. The discerning list included David Alban, Roger Boston, Graham Brooks, Donald Gray, John Joyce, Paul Myerkoff, Stephen Rouse and David Wood. The following day, we all went at different times in different directions and had a great start to the challenge. Not only were we all immediately into the hills, but we were also rewarded with the most perfect walking weather, which was hard to believe when the predicted forecast had talked of nothing but more snow during the previous week. However, you join us now as we wake on day two, after a chilly night just up from Kinlochhorn. We're greeted with a glorious sunrise and the start of, hopefully, another perfect walking day.
Well, you find us on day two, morning of day two, just gone 8 o'clock, enjoying breakfast in what can only be described as a lovely, unique feeling after our last crossing a few years back, of sunshine, sitting outside the tent in glorious sunshine, sharing a massive pot of muesli and not freeze dried and home dehydrated extras.
Strawberries. Home grown strawberries. Mm. They are actually.
Certainly it's amazing how much a bit of sunshine lifts your spirit. We've just seen another challenger, Mix, just come through, said hello. He's on his way to do, what did he say, seven Munros. But he looks in a good fit state to do them.
Not recently done the Southern Upland Way, apparently, and hats off to these people that have the able to just get up and go for a few days at a time, or weeks.
Well, yeah, what did he say, 12 days, an hour of... hour of rain and 20 minutes of snow and the rest of it was sunshine.
Yeah, amazing.
Unbelievable. But as you can hear, the pitch is pretty perfect. We have a stream nearby which is flowing beautifully. This pitch location that Peter Goddard recommended is absolutely fantastic. We've had a very quiet and restful night. And if anything, because there's been no breeze at all, nothing's really dried. So we're just airing the quilts now and a few of the wet items that we've washed and so on, before we actually pack up and go.
Can I finish this? Are you going to have some?
I might just have that bit there. I'll have that bit. Thank you. So as Rosemary scrapes the bowl and possibly licks it out, that's a 1,300 pan filled to the brim of muesli.
It wasn't filled to the brim.
It was, you big fat pig. Oh, this is good, isn't it? We could stay here for 2 weeks.
I'd need resupplying before then.
Oh, yeah, it's true. And it was a steep climb up, wasn't it? So perhaps popping to the shops wouldn't be such a good idea.
Done.
Well, these are definitely positive moments of doing something like this, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. This is what it's made of.
So all those hours and hours of trudging through the rain. This is what you're hoping to get at the end, isn't it? A rainbow.
Yeah, you can see the snow on the peaks around us and not a lot else, actually. But it's a good spot.
A Come on then, let's get going.
The sound you can hear there is the sound of one of Humphrey's special Elvis burgers. What's so special about an Elvis burger? Well, it's big. The kind of thing, to be fair, I think Elvis would have only had that as a miniature snack. But it's full of all kind of goodies, tarragon and all kinds of things like that. So, yes, it's a beautiful morning again. It's, what about, just past 9:30. We were up and away early this morning because although we found a wonderful campsite of a wonderful bit of green, we were basically trudging again for another hour or so through bog before picking up tracks. And we're now sitting at the side of Loch Shiel where we are waiting for a boat to carry us across to Pollock, hoping to meet fellow challenger Julie along the way. So we're a bit early, but having said that, the weather is just stunning and gorgeous. So we are just sitting here cooking an Elvis burger and looking out over a kind of mill pond, calm Loch Shiel, sunlight dappling through these lovely trees here. An idyllic spot and, you know, a bit of a rest for weary legs that were walking at 6 this morning, but that's what the challenge is all about. It's all about a bit of variety, and to be honest, in this weather, you could probably spend most of the day sitting here. Right, well, we'll leave you to it. We'll devour our Elvis burger, and then we'll talk to you later, after we've reached the other side of Loch Shiel up Pollock.
Just gone 1:15 and we've made it to the bottom of Glen Cuoich. I think that's how you pronounce it. Q-U-O-I-C-H. Q-U, that's right, Q-U-O, Cuoich? Cuoich?
No idea.
So Glen Cuoich to Alt Beath or Alt Bethy, depending on how you wish to pronounce that one, which is a strange little body, which is basically somebody's almost garden shed. Garage, I'd say. And last time I was here, in fact, last time we were here, it was 2011, wasn't it?
That's right.
And I remember coming here and it was appalling weather. And here we are sitting outside now, getting ready to have a brew, which is a pleasant change. When we came through Kinloch Horn yesterday, when we met a gillie doing some work, and he was saying we might meet some construction workers as we go through here. They're setting up, apparently, lots of small hydroelectric systems throughout the area. I don't know who's behind this, but last time we came here in 2011, you walked out the back of the body and then straight on the track and away you go. I'll take some video so you can actually see the video, but it's now, well, it's a construction site again with a hard road suitable for trucks. And well, how big's that pipe, do you reckon? 2 metres across?
Big. I could crawl through it.
It'd be tiny if you could crawl through it. 2 metres across pipe that's by the side, obviously being waiting to be buried. I don't know who the energy is for. This, obviously, it's another source of green energy along with the turbines. We haven't seen any turbines yet. Have you seen any?
Coming up on the train, but not since we've been walking.
No, I think maybe something in the model here.
Yeah.
I'm interested to go close to the turbines because people tell me they make a hell of a racket. So, yes, brew in hand. little brew in hand shortly.
I think the irony is we didn't expect this weather.
No.
Our choice of the reason we've got a gas stove, the reason the tent we've chosen, are all to do with the rain and the snow we'd had, looked at hitting Scotland and made decisions on kit on those.
On those predictions.
And of actually, the last 2 days have been glorious.
Yeah, absolutely glorious. Beautiful walking weather. Sunshine. You can feel the heat from the sun. So, thankfully, Rose, at the last minute, threw in one of those small little tubes of sun cream. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And a T-shirt, and the rest of the shirts I've got are all long sleeves. So, yes, all the choices have been based on expecting worse weather. So let's hope it doesn't get any worse. Because this is quite pleasant, really.
We can manage
this, definitely.
If it doesn't do anything more. Well, it's going to be interesting walking the next section of the walk with a motorway, really, to walk on, as opposed to a track.
Yeah, I wonder how far it goes.
I don't know.
It must go the length of the glen.
I haven't seen any people, but there's a lot of...
Well, there's some diggers down there.
And
there's obviously...
Stuff.
See that road in the distance there going up towards the bridge?
Yeah.
No. So when they do this, I don't know.
Water's nearly ready.
Water's nearly ready. Let's get a cup of tea going.
Cool.
Find out how easy it is to subscribe to all our free programmes. Visit our website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk or look us up on Facebook.
Hello, well, it's 8 o'clock now and I am camping with Humphrey at a gorgeous, delightful little spot just at the top of Glengower. A lovely flat, a grassy pitch, two tiny little streams of fresh water running down the sides of our campment. And I've got the doors of the tarp tent open. I'm just watching the sun go down over the rocky crags in front of me. It's been another good day. Tough in parts again. We met Julie. We took the boat over Loch Shiel to Pollock. And then we walked uphill. Quite a long, hard walk. It reminded us very much of a Pyrenean hill walk. We got to the... top, and then we started bushwhacking over open ground. Again, very wet, quite slow progress. Eventually descending down into the little glen that runs into the top of Glengower. So that's been our day. An early start again. We finished about 5:30 this evening to make camp. Good progress today. Nice early camp, some good food to eat, and lots of time to recuperate. So I'll leave you now, and I'll just lie here and watch the sun go down. People often say to me, do you take much in the way of entertainment on these walks? I don't take a Kindle. Sometimes I take a notebook, particularly if I'm not podcasting, but I'm not this time, because I'll rely on these as memories of the day. And I don't really listen to MP3 players, but I could just sit with the tent door open, watching the sunset on these mountains all night. It's just absolute pure entertainment. So tomorrow we head down Glengower to Coram Ferry, where we take the passenger ferry over to the side, and then we'll see how far we can get. The weather forecast is not good tomorrow. It's for rain. And then it starts to even out a little bit. Sunshine and showers for the next few days, I think. But at the moment, there's absolutely no sign of rain. The skies are absolutely clear. The air pressure is high still. And, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the setting of the sun. And I'll speak to you tomorrow.
And tonight, Bob is serving mango chicken with rice, served on a bed of dried grass, in the company of his wife, next to a trickling stream, and very near Tom Doo.
Looking forward to it.
Well, here we are, north of the wall, and we haven't seen...
the White Walkers.
White Walkers. Just seen a Liverpudlian, though. Paul has just walked past. And he's... no, he's not north of the wall, is he? No. Ah, but he's a very chatty chap, and nice to see him. He's on his way down to Tom Doon to camp on the verge, by all accounts. But another long and exhausting day.
It's brilliant, though.
Yes!
Really good.
Yes!
Good day.
Gosh, the weather. This is what I remember it being when I first did it. It was a bit like this, just glorious. Really sunny and a nice cool breeze to cool you down. But somehow the miles seem to be longer than the last time I did this.
Well, I don't know, because we did a same section as I did with you in
2011.
And what a difference the weather made.
Yes.
I mean, I can remember it last year, so trudging along in the pouring rain and just looking at your heels and the mud and the water and getting lost, trying to come up one of the... losing the path and then couldn't find it and how boggy... it was still boggy, but... yeah, no, yeah. A huge difference.
Because, I mean, that time in 2011, we started at Old Beath.
Yeah.
And we got as... just a bit further than where we are now.
Yeah, we stopped at Tom Doon for a drink because it was still open then. There were quite a few challenges in, and that was a sort of late afternoon, lunch afternoon.
Oh, that's right, yeah, yeah.
And then we went on to find somewhere to camp because it was our anniversary.
I know, and we have romantically camped by the side of a forest.
It was a ditch, basically, wasn't it? We yes. couldn't find a campsite.
It was...
it was memorable.
Yeah, it was memorable. Literally, there was just enough space to pitch the tent between the forestry track and the ditch. I was amazed. We were aiming for Invergarry, I seem to remember.
Yeah.
But that was a long day. But this time we've come considerably further, really, and we stopped, obviously, before Tom Doon. Before we actually get to the road at Tom Doon.
Yeah.
We saw, it's not a bad spot, actually.
No, we saw Mick, didn't we, first thing this morning. He came through as we were just starting to pack up. He was off to do Seven Munros, bless him.
Well, got the weather for it, though.
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
You want to go on the tops, it was absolutely stunning. And then we bumped into another chap called Rob. Terrible with names.
From somewhere.
And he's actually pitched up about 100 yards or so away from us, so he's obviously tired as well. He's had a hard day. But not really had time to get to chat to anybody to perhaps do an interview or anything. It's all, everybody's been a bit fleeting and wanting to get on with their particular route. So we sort of haven't pushed it, and hopefully we'll talk to people a bit later on. Certainly the handful of people that started with us at Glen Elg, hopefully we'll meet up with them as we go through and find out what their trip's been like. But if it's anything like ours, it's been absolutely wonderful. Weather forecast rumoured to be changing tomorrow, but...
fingers crossed.
It's Scotland, and so the rumour is... I was going to say it's a bit like the SNP's fiscal policy. It's a little bit loose. But I won't say that.
No.
No. That's political. So, yes, tired. I'm exhausted. In all honesty, I am shattered.
Yeah. Need a new... good massage. Calves and shoulders and...
a new pair of legs.
Yeah, a new pair of legs. Yeah, cool.
But it's a shorter day tomorrow. Tomorrow we're nipping over, going through the forestry track past where we stayed.
Romantically.
In 2011. And cutting across and going over the top down to Laggan. So hopefully that'll be a shortish day. And we're meeting up with Lee and Tony and having a night on the boat, which is a restaurant bar thing.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Didn't you?
No.
Oh, there
that's
you are.
Exciting.
Happy anniversary. Surprise to you. It's your Christmas present.
Yeah.
So, yes, we look forward to having some, doing a washing and having a kip and then going out for a good meal. It'd be good. That pretty well wraps up day two. Yeah, day two. Not bad, really. Any other thoughts?
No, not really.
Shoes been okay in the boats?
Yeah, no, they've been good. They've been good. And actually, it's been pretty boggy. And that last river we had to ford, it was just so much easier just to walk through it.
Yeah.
The guy following us seemed to take a lot longer trying to pick a route, I guess.
Yeah, I guess he had boots. He seemed to be taking a while to do that. But everything's been okay, actually. It's just fitting the miles in. and having heart-to-heart conversations.
Yes.
And talking about the world, life, death and the universe. And looking for White Walkers.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely not looking for White Walkers.
No. Anyway, I'm waffling and tea is ready. So I'm looking forward to my mango and chicken. On a bed of rice.
You say grass.
Oh yeah, served on a bed of grass. all right.
The Great Outdoors Challenge is an annual self-supported walking event across the Highlands of Scotland, West Coast to East Coast. First held in 1980, it's a non-competitive test of backcountry skills, navigation and stamina. The challenge is held every May and is sponsored by The Great Outdoors, The Walkers magazine and supported by specialist outdoor footwear company Hanvag in association with Fial Raven. Every challenger starts their hike by signing out from one of around a dozen locations on the west coast, strung between Torridon in the north and Ardrishaig in the south. And your journey will end when you reach the eastern seaboard between Fraserburgh and Arbroath. Between those chosen points in the months prior, you'll plan your own routes, which will be checked by experienced vetters. You can plan a high or low-level route, or one that blends both. That flexibility, combined with the vast and varied geographical area available, is one of the challenge's unique attractions. Many challengers return year after year. Some plan entirely new routes, some repeat favourite sections. You're free to choose. The challenge is a backpacking event. You'll need to carry everything on your back, including food and shelter, but it's up to you whether you camp all the way across or use a mixture of camping, hostels and B&Bs. The extraordinary hospitality offered by many establishments has become legendary over the event's 30-plus years. The challenge demands a good level of competence in navigation, survival techniques, campcraft and general hillcraft. It's also renowned for its sociability and camaraderie, and you'll always find fellow challengers willing to help in any way they can. The event is restricted to 300 participants, and entry forms can be found in the October issue of the Great Outdoors magazine every year.
Good morning. It is day three, and as you can tell, the weather has changed. It isn't biblical rain, it's more consistent drizzle. Scots mist, I think they believe they call it up there. Persistent drizzle. So we're just having to change our routine of packing things up, because normally we can do it, or we have been able to the last couple of days, do it outside the tent, whereas now we have to do it all inside. I haven't mentioned it actually, but we're using the Vaude Power Lizard 2-stroke 3-person. 3-person, can you imagine trying to get 3 people in here?
It has to be very little.
Well, you have to be tiny people. So for two of us, it's ample space for our kit and ourselves and have a little bit of room. But 3 people, God, it'd be a nightmare. You can't even get 3 mats across here, could you?
No, I suppose if the adult and 2 small children could go.
Yeah, but they're not people, are they? They're children. Not.
I'm going to have another digestive biscuit with my brew.
Our luxury in the morning is to make a brew and have Rose insists on bringing in a pack of digestives with her. And I have to say, it is quite enjoyable to start the day with a cup of tea.
Not very practical to carry, though.
Well, that's the thing, mate. You can go, let's face it, I was thinking about it this morning. You can go lightweight, super lightweight if you want to. You know, you can be much, much lighter, but you actually take a lot of the fun or the comfort factor out of it.
Mm.
It's possible, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's enjoyable.
No, it's finding that balance, isn't it? It's a compromise as to what you really need and the things that actually make it enjoyable at the same time.
Absolutely. So, consequently, people may look at us and go, well, you promote lightweight, but here you are at 9 kilos. Whereas a lightweight person would be, I don't know, 5 or 6, I suppose. And I go, well, actually, yeah, but I'm comfortable, which is, for 2 weeks, what I'd rather be, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I've done it once in a tarp, haven't I? A tarp and a bivy bag. Yeah.
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 it was a challenge, as in the sense that it was just a challenge just on the logistics. It's a bit like where we are at the moment. It's the logistics of, OK, it's now raining, can't put the stuff outside the tent, so we have to take it in turns to get dressed and pack the stuff up in our roll-top waterproof bags and get it all ready so you can just stash it straight in the rucksack when you're ready to go. I'm using the Mariposa, which has the luxury of a huge external side pocket, which is works out quite well because obviously the first thing that goes up and the last thing that goes down is the tent. So when we're all packed and outside, all we need to do is wipe the tent down with the J-cloth and remove as much moisture as possible, because obviously it can stay sodden all day long and also weigh a bit, and then stash it in the bag and go. But hopefully today's not such a bad day. I can see where we're supposed to be going from where we're pitched at the moment. We're about a couple of hundred metres from the road at Tom Doon. So we hit the road, turn left, go through Tom Doon, go over the bridge into the forestry, through the forest for a few kilometres, and then we climb out of the forest and go through a Belach between, I haven't got the map in front of me, I don't know what the name is, but the Belach, and then scan sort of north-east and come down, hopefully directly over Laggan Locks, which is where we hope to be by, I'd say, lunchtime-ish or just after lunch, something like
really?
That.
I thought it'd be mid-afternoon.
Well, early afternoon.
Okay.
Then we've got plenty of time to relax and catch up, really.
Yeah.
And do a bit of washing and some ablutions and things. So, yes, a great old day. Not as bad as it has been in the past for us, but certainly not as good as the last couple of days. But it was a good couple of days start. Really enjoyable walking.
Cracking scenery.
Beautiful scenery. And I've taken video clips sort of morning, midday and afternoon as well to give you an idea. So I'll be putting a video together at some stage, like I did with the 2011 crossing, showing our route and what some of the scenery was like and the weather. Right, I'm going to finish my cup of tea, have another digestive and get packed up, I suppose.
This is the first time you've heard from us today. It's about 8:30 in the evening, and the reason for that is just been an atrocious day, really. We started off a little bit more gentle time, about 8 o'clock this morning. Cut down over the top of Glen Gower and then down the glen. But everything was very, very wet, and it took quite a time, really, picking our way through bogs and crossing tussocks and a lot of streams to ford. And we got to Coram Ferry, went into the pub there, had a bowl of soup, and met Julie and a lot of other walkers who looked as if they'd come up for a walking holiday and were marooned in the pub rather than being on the tops of the hills. And then we made our way up through a forest and got lost, which is very easy to do in forests. Had to retrace our steps, and now we're camped, really, I suppose, just above the village of Inchery on the other side from Coram Ferry. And well placed to have a nice forest walk in the morning, pick up the West Highland Way, which we take south to Keenloch Leven, and then at we get there about 11, 12 o'clock, we think, and then we'll decide what to do from there. Maybe we'll have half a day in Keenloch Leven, maybe we'll just push on more somewhere towards Rannoch. Anyway, so only a short report today because the weather has been pretty atrocious. Rain most of the time, driving wind, and you may be able to hear the rain has started to fall again here. So anyway, we'll have to let our tents and shelters take the full brunt of the wind and get an early night. And tomorrow's another day. The weather forecast looks not dissimilar from today, and then maybe brightening up a little bit. So there's hope for the next few days, I guess. Anyway, that's us now, and we'll speak to you tomorrow, hopefully from Kinlochleven or maybe a little bit further on.
That is the sound of Rose doing her nails. Because we've made it to Laggan Hostel, the Great Glen Hostel at Laggan, eventually. We had a bit of an interesting journey today. We didn't do a midday chat because weather conditions had turned against us. And, well, to be honest, the first half of the day was pretty boring and the second half of the day just got ridiculous. But to take you quickly through it, we came down from our camping spot, which, as I say, was a couple hundred metres away from the main road, and started to walk towards Tom Doom. As usual, on the way to Tom Doom, we're always looking for camping spots, just in case we're ever in a situation where we need one. And there really wasn't anything there, was there?
No, there's not a lot there at all. There was that one little cottage that was boarded up. Was that before or after?
That was before, yeah. There was a small little cottage just set off the road, which had been boarded up, obviously disused. And as we found out when we got to the hostel here today, somebody who was actually camping there last night, so we could have been trying to squeeze on the same spot, but there wasn't much space there. But apart from that, there wasn't really anything at all the way along that road, was there?
No, there was some spot by the bridge just as we hit the road when we came down off the hill. But apart from that, we did look just for future reference, and we've done this before, isn't there? Yeah. There's just nowhere, really.
The whole area, really, is just pretty boggy. It seems to hold the water, no matter what the weather's like. So it's not really conducive to that sort of thing. And also, there's a lot of deer fencing, isn't there? There was very, very little space left by the
that's
side of the road for people who want to camp on the verge. Well, interestingly, as we came past Tom Doon Hotel, or Tom Doon Hotel as was, completely fenced off, being completely refurbished, I took some video of it, and it looked like it was going to be developed into quite a nice place.
Yeah, I spoke to a challenger here at the hostel who said she'd actually objected because they're turning it into a residential place.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. So she said she's gutted, really, because there's just nowhere.
Well, there isn't.
There's a little B&B just a bit further on, isn't there? But apart from that,
she said
it's going to be really quite a bleak,
bleak road, actually.
Road to come.
Because it goes through to Noidart, and there's not an awful lot of accommodation on it. So we assumed initially that it was being refurbished, but obviously not as a hotel. I see the bunkhouse is being bulldozed, and there's a lot of work going on. But it will be on a video clip when I get that done, so you can have a look at that for yourself. So we carried on through there, went down to the bridge, walked our way through Greenfields, I think it was, the farm Greenfields, which again has been more development work going on down there. Onto the forestry track towards Loch Garry, or Glengarry rather.
Oh, we saw some hairy coos and a big notice up saying hairy coos. They've got them roaming the forest now to, as they used to apparently a millennium ago, to revert the habitat back to more native species, clear the forest. So there was a small herd, wasn't there, about, eight probably, and a couple of calves and a bull.
That bull was big though, wasn't it?
He was big. Big boy.
So we did the right thing and just tried not to be in between the calves and whichever one it was apparent. You never know with cows what might happen, but they're very calm breed. Very calm breed. But it's just the shagginess of them. They look so cuddly and friendly. I wonder if that's where sporrans were invented.
Well, we had this conversation, didn't we?
Yeah, skin a hairy coo and use its skin. Anyway, just a thought. So we went along the forestry track, which eventually comes out at Invergarry, but our choice was to head down to Laggan Locks. There's one track that cuts off from the forestry track and goes up through Glengarry Forest, just going through the Beelach by Ben T. Now, that was our initial choice, but at that particular time, as it hit us about 1 o'clock-ish, was it, something like that?
Yeah, it must have been.
12, 1 o'clock-ish, the rain started to come down, and we're not talking the usual sort of drizzle and stuff. It was big clumps of water, wasn't it?
It was sort of on and off all morning, which was fine, but by then it was persistent, driving.
Yeah.
Wet stuff.
The wet stuff that gets everywhere.
Yeah.
So we decided to pass on that junction and carried on until we hit the second one, which takes a lower path, if you like, over the top to Laggan Locks. We just took a bearing from the edge of the forest. And that was a tough couple of kilometres, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The first was a huge deer fence with no gate in sight at all. So it was a question of putting the poles through and climbing that, which, you know, how tall deer fences are. Yeah,
especially it's rusty
yeah,
wire.
Yeah, and it had a barbed wire through the middle, which was not good when you've got waterproof clothing it's trying to protect. But we made it.
Yeah, yeah, we got there. And certainly going across that that ground was, well, it was just, for you, I mean, it was knee-deep for me, but for you, it was up to your thighs at times.
Well, I know, it was just, that's when it weren't like when we used to do adventure racing. It was like you'd be off and I'd be like, hang on, my legs are shorter than yours, wait for me.
Falling
disappear
into the horse,
and,
yeah.
But it's really draining. We stopped for 5 minutes on the top, which was good. You whipped out the bivy bag and we just had 5 minutes of calm, I think, to just get my breath back, really, and then, you know, face the storm again.
Yeah, yeah. That was the body bag, not the bivy bag.
Oh, yes, easily, body bag,
easily
sorry.
Confused.
Body bag.
But useful, though. Hasn't that body
bag
been useful?
Yeah, it's been really useful because it was really wet under the tent yesterday and we put it down as a footprint, which really helped.
I have to say, so far of the trip, it's always pot cosy in the body bag, which I think has actually been a useful accessory. Anyway, we finally made it to the climb down to Laggan, and thankfully they had burned all the heather. So it was a lot easier to get through because going down that incline with the heather, had it been in full bloom, would have been pretty tough going, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would have been indeed.
So we estimated we hoped we'd get to Laggan, the Great Glen Hostel, by around 4 o'clock-ish. We actually hit the road at 4:30. And then it was about 5 o'clock before we actually made it down to the hostel. If you're listening to this and you intend to come that way in future, then, as we didn't know, there is actually a shorter route or a more convenient route to walk down the Great Glen Way, down by the side of the canal, and then you just go past the hostel and tuck back to it. It's about 200 metres, whereas we walked the couple of kilometres down the road and they do not take any prisoners around here.
Yeah, it was pretty hairy, actually. It was more hairy than being on the top, so I came past at such speed.
Well, yeah, just continual heavy rain. Anyway, for our sins, we're now in the hostel and obviously, as you can imagine, everything is out of the bag, trying to dry and air and all the rest of it. And we have met up with Lee and Tony. And so we're heading down to the floating restaurant or bar or whatever it's called down at Laggan Locks for an evening for a few bevvies and a decent meal and no doubt some mirth making. So I might take the recorder and see exactly what they've got to say for themselves. But failing that, hopefully I'll catch them tomorrow morning as we head off down the loch and continue our walk. So that is about it for day
Day three, the weather breaks and everything aches.
We're just getting used to it. So day three over, we're on to day four.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear more from our extensive free library, please visit the website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Join us next time as the journey across Scotland continues on the TGO Challenge.